Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think like that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Oh dear, what could the matter be, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to the Football Ramble preview show, sponsored by Bet365. The Netherlands beat England. Sandy Cazorla has had some good news, and Diego Maradona has been talking shite again. I've decided I don't like VAR.
It's rubbish, Marcus. I've been beating this bad old drum for a while.
Bad old drum.
Bad old dirty drum. It's only, made out of bins.
It's only got badder and dirtier because I've joined your calls, baby. England.
Yeah.
Shame. Well, I mean,
well,
daft little tournament, silly game, fuck off.
I mean, to be honest, that's exactly how the England fans behaved.
Yes.
Oh, blimey. Let's not get into that just yet. That will bring the mood way, way down too early for the show. Yes, England undone by some errors. Some errors against those Netherlands. It was a shame. I think it shows you where the England team are at the moment, because I actually felt really quite down after it. And I think the mood was really, was very downbeat. And it shows you, because I think England fans thought, hang on a minute here, we might actually be considered I don't know, maybe joint favourites of Portugal. England have got a really good chance
into it for most people. They're my favourites.
I have to say, I feel the opposite. Maybe it's just because England lost, but I was watching the game and I've been thinking throughout the Nations League, like, is this going to feel like a third international tournament? Is it going to feel like it matters and it's a really big thing? And it didn't.
I didn't. First half, it didn't. I mean, the teams were sluggish. Yeah. And I think it took a while to get going, but when it did, and it was a bit of a back and forth, and when Lingard scored that goal that was of course ruled out, I found myself going, oh, I've been sucked in all in time for the loss.
But was that not kind of one of the more positive things to be drawn for it? Because that pass was wonderful. Yes. Sancho, wasn't it?
Ross Barkley.
Oh, sorry. Yeah,
it was Ross Barkley who didn't do anything else for the rest of the game. meaningful. No, it was, yeah. I mean, it's funny because when I walked away from El Pub, I'm one of those fans who I can't just switch off.
Right, yeah.
I like the chat. I sort of like to fizzle out, if you see what I mean. Because I used to like it back in the 90s. You remember Euro 96, especially when the match would be on the telly and then you could switch on to fantasy football with Badil and Skinner. Mm. And
we've replaced them in many ways.
Very few would argue. Yeah, this is therapy for me. And they would often, especially after England lost that semi-final on penalties to Germany, you think, I can't just switch off. And it's nice to see them a bit gutted and a bit deflated. And
you feel like you're all doing it as one in the same way that you've been watching the game as one.
I think so. And so I was on the bus on the way home and I thought, well, I'll check out Five Live. I don't think they were covering the game. So I thought, well, maybe I'll put on Talk Sport, and Andy Goldstein and Jason Cundy were on, who can be a little boisterous at times, shall we say. But Cundy actually thought, from the little I heard, came out was fairly decent thing. Anyway, right, we're going to go to our first caller. Hi, it's Ian from Sussex. I think Southgate should be set. And I was like, all right.
Imagine.
Let's turn that off.
Imagine.
Sacked for getting to a semi after a World Cup semi-final. Another semi-final is not good enough.
They're big game bottlers. Come on,
traitor, put him in a tower.
You know what, it was one of the situations. I wasn't like that, but you know when you're like, you know when you're putting the bins out and you're literally doing anything not to put the bins out,
some cases literally nothing. Just sitting there.
I mean, that's usually
just
the
being
you're just like, I will do anything not to put the bins out. I'll phone me ma'am, I'll do the invoices, I'll reply to emails, and you're sat there and you're on filth with one eye on the bins, and then you're going, I can't live like this. I'm going to take life by the horns. I'm going to take out these fucking bins.
I'll
take out the bins, and you grab the bins and you put it on the bins, and you get outside and you get all the way down the garden path, and then
the bin
catches itself on a nail, and the bin juice goes all over your bare foot, and that was exactly what it was like finding out that there was a third place playoff for this fucking competition. I was like, that is the worst thing that possibly could have happened tonight.
Absolutely. I mean, the World Cup, we thought the World Cup third place playoff was the most pointless game in all football. But this tops it, doesn't it? It's like the Championship playoff. Having a third place playoff. Imagine, it's, I'd just, like why, that. Why?
Would, that would be amazing.
If they make them do it.
I think competitions just have to earn a third place playoff. Third place match.
I don't know. I think England get another crack at the bronze, which they failed to do in Russia. So, you know, chin up. Although we'll probably, if we do beat Switzerland, then England will not get a medal.
Well, if you fancy England to grab that third place finish,
there you go.
It's evens, 1-1, £10 returning, £20 including your stake with Bet365.
Yeah, going to the game itself, I have been slightly surprised at some of the fallout from the match, actually. The way people have been talking about it was the Dutch completely outclassed England, and they won 3-1 in regular time and carved England open and all this kind of stuff. Don't get me wrong, I think the Dutch were a little bit better, but
I think they were the better side, definitely. I don't think anyone would really argue that wasn't the case.
Sure.
But I know what you're saying.
Yeah, but I didn't think, the reading some things and some of the reaction was as if the golfing class, as if England didn't even belong on the same pitch.
I think the problem for me, and I think where that perception comes from, and I don't think it's entirely unfair, is that obviously England scored the goal through a penalty again.
Which was fortunate, and that was a mistake as well.
But we didn't really look like scoring from open play. It's so often been the case with England.
Sancho had that header.
Yeah, but, you know, again, you know, it's just...
But did the Dutch create that much? They pounced on errors.
Absolutely, they pounced on errors. But I think it's more that this is a wider problem with England coming back. That
I don't dispute the
personnel. You know, the players like Harry Kane, Raheem Sterling, mm-hmm. Jadon Sancho, even like, you know, the Rashford, players that score goals, mm-hmm. players that you consider an attacking threat in the Premier League or the Champions League. Why is it when they come together for England that England feels so blunt and that they're relying on set pieces, almost like a sort of international Stoke sometimes? And that's undermine the work that Gareth Southgate has done.
I don't think Southgate would have brought Kane on as early as he did if it wasn't for the injury. But yeah. I mean, I think it was just a reminder that, you know, in international football, the margins are membrane thin. They're so small that you wouldn't get that. You wouldn't necessarily get that in domestic league football. You wouldn't get someone, you know, chances are it would come off someone's knee and it wouldn't have gone in after somebody does a spill. You know, it's difficult.
Are we just lacking a creative spark in midfield?
It's the midfield. Yeah. England's problem is in midfield. I know there were mistakes, you know, and I really hope Stones and Barkley don't get hammered too much.
Yes.
We know. I mean, I understand the frustration with John Stones' his error there, and it was a particularly daft error. With Barkley's error, you could say that Stones maybe shouldn't have played the ball to him.
Yeah.
And I know with the corner, Stones sort of lost his man. That can happen.
How many matches has Stones played? Like,
well, exactly.
Season,
I think he's played since April.
Yeah.
So there's a problem with that.
Barkley, he had an incident in possibly the first half. I forget which half of it. But where he almost crossed the ball across his own area, and he got away with it. But it was like, come, you're not the best player over the park.
It was
showing how flashy you are.
Relaxed. But John Stones, though, with the obvious error he made, I think what was frustrating about that was. It wasn't like a bad touch and it let the player in, or he tried to quickly switch it and the player blocked it. He had the ball. He had the chance to play it back to Pickford, which he was going to do anyway. For some reason, he then spun back round as if to say, well, let me just have another. No, okay, I will play it back to Pickford. Oh, it's gone.
Can you be mentally exhausted and also rusty at the same time?
Do you know what was so gutting as well is Pickford made a great save. It came off Walker.
Yeah.
And Walker's pace, again, Walker wasn't brilliant, but his pace at times does.
His recovery pace is phenomenal.
It's absolutely phenomenal. And you can say it papers over some cracks. But he was so close to getting it because he was the one that put it in. I mean, one of the big stories was what.
I don't think he'd be first choice for Manchester City next season. I think they'll strengthen that area.
He does like a fullback.
He does like a fullback.
He's probably got about three on the list, and that's right back alone. A little bit controversial, relatively speaking, that he didn't pick any Liverpool or Spurs players. Harry Winks wasn't even in the squad, of course. Mm. Now, when I look at it, to me, Jordan Henderson, who was past fit on the morning of the game. Yeah. Mm. So Southgate thought, okay. But Henderson was the one I thought England missed a bit in the midfield. Not that I think that would make a huge difference, because as you say, England just don't have a player like Frankie de Jong. And Frankie de Jong comes along once every 10 years or 12 years, something like that. He is a phenomenal player and will go on to be... he could go on to have a kind of a Xavi... type time at Barcelona or Busquets or whatever player you want to compare it to. He could, you know,
Alexander Chleb.
Yeah, absolutely.
But the problem, but they said it before, the problem like with players like Young, like if you keep them quiet, you keep the whole team quiet. So I think it plays into England's strengths to not have that mercurial kind of footballer that we had a glut of back in like late 90s and stuff. Yeah. Most teams don't have that kind of Leo Messi kind of creative kind of player that unlocks things.
But this type of player, that midfield who controls the game, we think of Pirlo, Modric, now De Jong, you know, whenever England play against a team who have a player or players like that, England find it difficult. But actually, I think England, they don't really have that type of player. I mean, maybe Winks in a few years. That might be fanciful thinking, but who knows? But England... you see, John's in there. But, you know, that disciplined type of performance. But I think England, actually, in the spirit of Klopp's Liverpool, and that is to play the ball quickly and get going. And they didn't quite find their stride. But that could be because of rustiness. Goodness knows what else. Didn't seem to upset the Dutch too much, as you say, Jim, but they play a slightly different game.
It was a shot in the arm for the Leicester fans who want to keep Chilwell, I think.
Yeah.
he might go. Oh, he's had a not great match for England, yes.
Well, one of the things I think is sadly going to be forgotten from the game is that save that Pickford made.
Yeah.
Of that 30-yard shot. Where he just caught it like Thor catching Mjolnir, like just plucked it out of the air. It was incredible.
You don't see it very often.
Pickford actually had a decent game,
I
thought.
Yeah.
He made a few saves. I mean, he was so unlucky when Stones did make that error because he saved it. He nearly got him out of trouble.
He did at one point ask the referee if he could pick the ball up as it was coming back to him.
Yeah, he did, yeah.
He's quite thick, isn't he? Quite adorably thick.
Can I hit the ball? Can I hit the ball?
But that was
a
fair one because he's not sure if he could. Goalkeepers do that quite a bit. You'll be
but to be fair, like he was at the back of his 18-yard box to the right. I mean, an indirect free kick, you're just going to pack the box in. They're not going to get anything out of that.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. But yeah, so where were we? The Dutch, they did dominate the centre of the pitch, no doubt about that. I'll tell you something, if the Netherlands can produce a top quality forward, they will be very dangerous. Mm. I mean, they've got some decent forward players, but they do lack a little bit in that area, if you're going to say, because the spine of that team is very handy. You know, the centre-back partnership they've got is really good. Mm. And in midfield, you know, with Wijnaldum and De Jong in there. So they really, I mean, they've come a long way in a short space of time.
They really, really have.
And they have... excuse me, you know, an exciting young feel about them, a little bit of pace in there as well, and some great craft. And England, it's England for many, many years now, it's that craft they miss. But a midfield where you have Declan Rice making what is second start for England, or second start, you know, he's not many appearances at all. Then Delph, who's hardly kicked a ball for Manchester City, really, and Barkley, who... I think Barkley's a good player, and again, I hope he doesn't get too much. He does dilly-dally a bit and tries too many... fancy things when he could play it a little bit more simple. So it was a slightly unfamiliar midfield for England, although Barkley did play away to Spain when England won 3-2 and Delph started the game at home to Croatia. So they have a bit of experience.
Yeah,
so
we
don't want to say, oh, it wasn't our best
season,
team.
Though,
it's not kind of, this wasn't our best team, so therefore. But I wonder if Southgate will think to himself, oh, maybe I should have started Henderson. Maybe, I don't know, one or two others from Liverpool, perhaps. But... I think, you know, Southgate himself said that England made their own errors in the final third, in their own third rather, partly because of the Netherlands pressing, but also due to individual mistakes. And he also said this is the type of thing you learn from. Now, it is true, you've got to look philosophically at this.
Yeah.
Because I was quite gutted, actually, after the game. And I was a little bit surprised, again, the way the likes of Ronald Koeman and Van Dijk were saying, well, we were in complete control, we were the better team, we made more chances. And I thought, you did need extra time and two gifts.
They did. They were in control, though, Marcus.
Well,
end they were. I mean, that VAR offside decision.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's frustrating.
Like, that was like his, it wasn't even his elbow. It was like the bit inside his elbow. What's that little kind of ridge on the
I don't
elbow?
Even know. The tip.
But my point is.
The trochlear notch, I think it's called.
My point is, there was the first half, the Dutch slightly edged, but didn't create anything. There was nothing going on in the first half. The start of the second half, England had the better of it, and Sancho should have made it 2-0. And then there was that period from about, I don't know, 55 minutes to about 75 minutes where the Dutch were better. And then England, actually, for the last 15, looked the more likely. You can say that the Dutch, they dropped deep. They did drop very deep, and England couldn't really find a way, although when they did, it was slightly offside. So, again, I'm not arguing that I think the Netherlands were better, but I don't think it was as... routine or as kind of simple as people are making out. I thought England weren't brilliant, but they weren't terrible.
No, but I don't think Ronald Koeman is saying that England were terrible.
Okay.
You know, I think he's comfortable with how
some of the
side did a kind of effectively a professional job against a good team, which is, I think, a fair assessment of it. But the offside was frustrating, I agree, because it was offside. But it's, as we've said many times, like it's like...
What kind of world do you want to live in?
What's the point of the offside being that tight? Like the advantage Lingard has is so minimal as to be non-existent. So it's just getting in the way of the game being fun.
And also, as I said before, technology could solve those problems a lot quicker, especially for the offside, which is a binary choice. It's whether you're offside or off or not, it's a choice there. And it shouldn't take that long to decide.
No offside for England.
No.
That's what I think.
And the fact that like the linos keep their, the assistant referees keep their flags down until, you know, really, really late. It was actually quite grinding for me.
So yeah,
put your
pointless
fucking flags. Oh, God. How have FIFA and UEFA managed to just ruin something so easy and beautiful?
Yeah,
why
really
have they?
It.
Why do they? Maybe they've underthought it. I said before, it's the tech lobbyists that have ruined this bloody game. It's not hard.
It is.
It's not hard.
It is so frustrating. Like, if you know, if the goal went in for the Netherlands and it was that tight, I would just think, oh, well, Lino's just not seen something to...
Bloody tech lobbyists have got to get onto this one and fix it.
Yeah, I'm getting a bit partisan. Sorry, everybody. Where are we? Yes, Raheem Sterling became the third youngest England player to reach 50 caps behind Rooney and Owen. I know...
Oh, he grazed the top of the bar, didn't he? What a goal that would have been.
He did, but it's good to mention that. You have to mention that because it's a hell of an achievement.
Yes.
And Sterling, I thought, did okay. I mean... It just didn't quite happen. England played a good side who, as you say, zonally were very good and
blah, blah, blah. They're
You're
piss
so
off.
Deflated by that.
I am.
It's like a post-World Cup. No, it's like a post-World Cup match.
Do you know what? It was that Lingard goal that sucked me in.
Right.
I thought when the game started, I thought, this is actually quite nice. This is exactly what it should be. It's better than a friendly, but I'm not kind of sitting here really, really tense like a World Cup match.
I switched on 10 minutes in. I had a Chilango burrito on my lap, that was just the perfect accompaniment. I enjoyed a lovely bit of football, beautiful weather, kind of, and it was a fairly pleasant game of football.
And some lovely, pleasant people who went to watch the game.
Yes. I'm looking at my notes here. Cocaine was decriminalised in 2001 in Portugal.
Is it really?
Yeah.
To be honest, those kind of people.
I'm just pulling that out of the ether. I'm just, you know.
To be honest, though, that normally doesn't stop them.
No, exactly. If anything, it's helped them explain their actions.
Do you know something, actually? We love Gareth Southgate, as we know, and we don't think he should be sacked. Let's make that clear. Yes. But Southgate said of those fans who were causing trouble in Portugal, and I can't remember an England manager saying something like this before. I know England managers have said, you know, it's a disgrace, they should be locked up and da-di-da, which is sort of... Meh. But Southgate said, they're an embarrassment. They reflect so poorly on us as a country and we don't associate ourselves with them at all.
Yeah, I like that. I like that he hasn't trodden out the... Firstly, they're not real fans.
Yeah.
Because it makes no difference. They're still there.
Yeah.
A lot of the time, they're not in the game. They're not at the game. They're just throwing bottles at families in fan parks. Yeah, some of them are, but that's what makes it so difficult to police. Mm. They're not actually at the game. They're just in Portugal wearing England shirts, just being absolute nightmares to everybody.
But you don't, like, as I said outside the studio, like, you don't see this at the Champions League final. You don't see this in the Europa League final. And it's financial for me. And I hate to bring up like politics, but
it's absolutely political.
It's financial. Men who live in certain parts of the world that are massively underfunded, expecting less of each other. Portugal's very cheap to get to. The beers are very cheap. And you don't even need a fucking match ticket to have a bloody good laugh. Yeah. Seeing 10 German bombers in the bloody streets.
Oh, yeah, well, this is a line that I found really interesting from an article about this in The Independent, which is simply, you could even see some fans refusing to go in the EU queue for passport control in the airport. Which is, firstly, surely they would just have to queue up again.
That made me laugh more than it should have done.
Yeah. Absolutely ridiculous.
Rest of world. I'm in rest of world.
Well, the thing is, I mean, England have had problems with fans way before any kind of all that sort of political stuff. But this
when did it last time? Thatcher. Thatcher started a fucking war cabinet because of hooliganism.
But
I'm not sorry. That's austerity for me. That is complete austerity.
Sure. But I was about to say that this is a different breed. Back in the 80s and what I and you chaps would remember in the 90s, it was more proper hooliganism.
It's more diluted, but it's only getting worse.
I'm not saying, so therefore this is totally fine. Don't worry about it, lads. It's just a bit of banter. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that the spirit of this, I think, is actually a little bit different to what it was before. I think in the 90s you had more battle-hardened, proper hooligans, whereas now, and this is the words, you know, the term stag do has been used a lot on this. It's like loads of stag do's descending. This to me is almost a legacy and a hangover from the nastiness from the hooligans, because when the police used to go after England fans before, as in the British police that would go over there, they would know the hooligans, they would spot them and they would try and stop it, whereas now the police are saying, we don't know any of these guys because they're not on any lists. These are not your traditional, what we came to know in the 80s, maybe 70s, but 80s and 90s hooligans. These are impressionable young lads or middle-aged people, whatever it is, who are going over there. And as you say, when you lulled into a full sense of security, because when England play tournaments far away, South Africa, Brazil, back to South Korea and Japan even, Russia, Ukraine.
Yeah, they can't afford to get out.
Whether it's affordability, which
massively,
which plays a factor, or whether it's kind of like, oh, who's going to go to Russia and, you know, after what happened in France especially. So you can get lulled into full sense of security. But when the doors open to Spain, Portugal, Germany, France, you know, Italy, probably the same. If there's a tournament in Greece, which I can't see happening soon, but you get the picture. That kind of stag do mentality, which is very prevalent. If football ceased to exist, it would still be there.
But it still ends up at the same place. You know what I mean? The only difference between hooliganism then is there were more organised fights. There were people who were looking for fights. Nowadays, nobody wants to get punched in the face because they're on Instagram. Weasels.
Melt.
Yeah. But I think the thing is, the circumstances are, in the country in a wider sense, are now at the beginning of a cycle where we see this starting again. And, you know, we might get, you know, the battle-hardened idiots in 10 years' time.
Yeah, they're starting off somewhere, you know what I mean?
Like, the stag culture is actually a really relevant one to bring in, I think, because that's different from how it's ever been in the past. Mm. It is now going abroad, spending a fortune, being an absolute animal in a different country. And they are sort of dovetailing in a really horrible way. And actually, one thing I'm sort of tired of, and we heard it in the commentary as well, is this whole the majority of the fans have been great thing, and that point is made every single time. And who cares? Yeah. I don't care if the majority of fans haven't done anything.
A cafe owner, a young kid who's had a school closed down for the day because of the fear of fucking hooliganism in Portal, I couldn't give a flying fuck, to be honest.
You're not meant to be rewarded for not being a thug. Like that's neutral. That's not a positive. If there's a stabbing, like at the end of the report, nobody goes, the majority of people didn't stab anyone today. Brilliant.
Yeah, I know what you mean. It's so sad that, you know, we went to Portugal recently. Can you imagine if we turn up and you could forgive hotel owners and also us? Careful, there's a group of English lads here.
Yeah. It's embarrassing.
What I don't understand, and I suppose this sort of feeds into the point about the kind of hooligans and the stag do lot, is if you're a hooligan, it's a lifestyle choice, it's all that kind of stuff. I disagree with it on every level. But with these lads here, they want to go and have a bit of a laugh and so on. You can go abroad. You can sing your songs. You can get a bit boisterous, have a laugh, all the rest of it, without being dicks.
No, but I think the issue is that...
But you can! You don't have to make the miserable... You see this with other fans. You don't have to make the lives of locals a bit more miserable. I'll tell you something. If you listen, if you do behave like that, we don't want you listening to this podcast.
Yeah, of course.
I don't think many people are, but I would
you'd hope not.
I would say I'm from a area, and it's all very well three middle-class men in a room sort of talking about the have-not, effectively. I'm from that area, and I know people who are like this. I know people who do that sort of shit. It's about money. There's just not enough
behave like that, though.
Yeah, it's
very,
not as many.
Very few. It's just austerity. It's about men expecting less of men and having no prospect, no money, no futures.
It also comes from a sense
living for the fucking weekend. Let's go fucking crazy and pick up the pieces on Monday morning.
I think it also comes from a sense of English exceptionalism that has been stoked.
Oh, massively, and also fucking Brexit as well.
Yeah. Well, I didn't think the Dutch were that much better. But they were better. But it's a great shame because England do take a phenomenal, in terms of numbers, a phenomenal support. It was almost like an England home game. Yeah. And the fans that do go.
And the band.
Yeah. But I think it is important because so many, you know, fans go out there and say, do you know what, we had a great time, blah, 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 blah. Stay away from those. You're right in what you say, Jim. You're absolutely right. And it makes it such a great shame because if you got rid of that, and whether that will ever happen or not, I sincerely hope it does, England would have such a brilliant support because they go in great numbers, they can make a good noise, and unfortunately that section lets everybody down.
Well, the issue is if it's bleeding into fan parks now.
Yeah.
Like, people aren't going to feel safe around England fans, and understandably so, and that is such a shame.
It is a great shame. It is a great shame. But England will play Switzerland, of course, in the third place. Perth. Netherlands play Portugal in the final. Should be pretty good.
If you fancy Portugal to win it with bet365.com, they're 7-10.
Yeah, I did love that. Cristiano Ronaldo.
Oh,
not pissing about, is he?
No. he was relatively quiet as well, wasn't he? Just that easy hat-trick. There'd been rumours that Granit Xhaka was going to go to Inter for €55 million. Mm-hmm. And I think Xhaka's probably thinking, that's a lot for me. I'll tell you what, I'll just make a mistake in front of one of the most effective players in the history of the game, and that'd knock maybe 10 mil off.
I love that. He had a relatively quiet game. Well, all right, did he score a hat-trick? He got a hat-trick. I'd love to. Oh, man. There we are. All right, then. We'll do emails at the start of the second half, shall we, Petey?
All right, mate.
Let's do that. See you in a moment.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
It began over 10 years ago in a rented house in Harston.
I'd like to see James Richardson back on terrestrial television.
4 microphones and a mini disc recorder.
In all seriousness, no, The Guardian's Football Weekly is brilliant.
Now it's listened to worldwide by millions.
James Richardson is a tell you what he is, he ticks all the boxes, a genuine authority of the game.
Come with us on a summertime journey through the history of the football ramble.
Cool. He's a respected journalist, no doubt about that.
10 years of the football ramble.
And not only that, he's fucking funny as well.
Starting this Thursday the 13th.
Emails.
Say I'm the only bee in your bonnet.
Not the bees!
You've got mail.
Bad bees!
You've got mail.
You didn't give me a chance to say welcome back to the Football Ramble preview show sponsored by Bed365.
Emails! It's emails time.
Enjoyed that.
Hello, this is from Albert. A short one, but a very sweet one. Hello, my brother saw Luke smash a cafetiere on the floor in the big Sainsbury's in Streatham a couple of years back. Bye!
Let's be fair to Luke and say that was almost certainly an accident. He wasn't
yobbing up Streatham.
He was on a stag doing Streatham in South London. That's where he was.
He's Streatham commoner.
Do you know, I should say to the lovely, I assume he's a lovely chap, as I was
Luke Miller.
Well, he can be. As I was briskly going through Vauxhall station in South London today, a chap just shouted Football Ramble, and normally I'd like to stop. I invite them to their own personal Q&A, kind of thing. I was in a bit of a rush, my good man, but I did appreciate that.
No. Hello to,
usually I have pictures of Pete Donaldson that I sign as well.
That's all I want, mate. Ben Bennett. Is this a drawing of a gorilla? Who's this? It's me, how dare you. Ben Bennett, glorious name. Hello, gents. Did you see this guy? Basically, if you saw this phrase on the beach, referring to the age-old end-of-season excuse for shellacking, was somewhat of an over-exaggeration, well, I bring you the term by the river. The German fifth division manager, did you see this guy?
No.
I think it's Jan Heisfield. The actual team, TV Jan Heisfield, recently told their manager, with one game left of the season, he wouldn't be coming back next season to be in charge. So he turned up to the match dressed like that.
Oh, that is super. Wow.
He's effectively wearing fishing gear. And yeah. Has he got a rod there as well?
Yeah, he has. A rod.
And so he's sat in a little chair.
He's gone fishing.
Think of your stereotypical fisherman where he's got the straw hat on, sun hat. You got one of those sort of waistcoat jackets.
Yeah, kind full fishing gear.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful, beautiful
picture. They say he's by the river. That's how they say on
I
the
guess
beach.
So, yeah. Or
That's like a manager here turning up in flip-flops, you know, surfing shorts, that kind of thing. Yeah.
A ticket to Dubai. I don't know. Wonderful. Hello to Kristen. Hello, Kristen. Hello, Ramblers. After listening to the birthday talk on the last show, I ended up spending way too much time on a website listing famous birthdays, and now we have a few more to share with you. Ooh. First of all, happy early birthday to Jim.
Thank you. And Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang.
Well, she goes on to say this, it seems that he and Paul McCartney also share a birthday with George Mallory, Fabio Capello, and Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang. There you go. If my Wikipedia page is to be believed, it really isn't, Kristen.
No.
His birthday is April the 30th, it is, which would mean that the Nazi he mentioned is likely Ribbentrop. Remember the Did he do the Ribbentrop-Molotov pact? I presume he did. Also sharing a birthday that day is Kirsten Dunst and John O'Shea. Marcus?
Harrison Ford is one.
Oh, yeah. Marcus and Craig Bellamy share a birthday.
Yeah, I said that on the last
with,
show.
With Nathan Bedford Forrest, the Grand Wizard of the KKK, the first one. So congratulations, Marcus. Harrison Ford and Patrick Stewart. So there we go. Who wants to be a fascist.
I don't know if I had a fascist.
Did you just say Patrick
Stewart wants to play? Yeah, he played.
He played a fascist.
He played a neo-Nazi in Green Room, I want to say.
Again, it doesn't matter who, whoever you share your birthday with, doesn't reflect on you. That just
Kristen shares their birthday with Marcus Aurelius, Rudolf Hess, and Carol Burnett.
I don't know.
Either way, thank you very much, Kristen. If you want to get to the show, we're going to be reading our emails every now and again through the summer.
I mean,
show@thefootballramble.com. Get involved. We don't want to hear about any more birthday Nazis.
Yeah, we don't. And
unless you're militant about your birthday.
It shows you how much we're struggling with content. We're literally just talking about, when are you born? Oh, yeah, they're born on the same day as that person. But I thought it was interesting.
We talk about austerity a bit more, if you want.
Yeah. Well, in a way, there's content austerity going on. This weekend, of course, all happening. We have the Women's World Cup in France and so on. We also have a near full European Championship qualifying fixture list. Spain are away to the Faroes and then at home to Sweden, Faroe Islands, and then home to Sweden. Sensationally, they've recalled Santi Cazorla at the age of 34. He hasn't been picked since 2015. And of course, nearly lost his leg to that mystery infection virus, which was
awful.
Like eating away at his Achilles and all that. They never really found out what that was. It's so strange.
Arsene Wenger said it was the worst injury he's ever seen.
Yeah, madness.
I mean, his tattoo is like, they had to take a bit of his other leg and it's tattooed. It's like,
I mean,
horrible.
The fact that
patchwork on the back of his leg.
The fact that they managed to, as you say, literally patch his leg up so he didn't lose his leg was incredible. Yeah. The fact that he could return to professional football, something else. And he's back in the Spain squad. He made 46 appearances this season with Villarreal. I think 30 of them were starts. What a story.
Oh, I love Santi Cazorla.
And he couldn't have gone to a better person either.
I know.
Do you know what foot is his strongest foot? I've no idea.
No.
But he's one of the most two-footed players I've ever seen.
Well, Arsenal missed. Brilliant. They mixed it up then. I'm like, maybe they put the
left
on the right.
Maybe that's why it worked.
Maybe he's got even more two-footed.
Yeah, that's it. They put a bit of one on the other. That's a heartwarming one.
Yeah.
That is a heartwarming one. Let's hope he's among the goals. He'll probably get chances against the Faroe Islands if he plays, of course. But the age of 34 as well.
Oh,
late call up, marvellous. All right, let's go to some Premier League happenings or non-happenings, see what you think. Real Madrid have finally signed Eden Hazard.
Has that gone through, is it?
Apparently so. It's happened. the sum of the fees...
It's come out of nowhere.
Yeah, sorry. some are reporting is 100 million euros, some of 130. I mean, whatever it is, it's an awful lot of money. So Chelsea will be pleased that they've got a massive fee from which they were always going to get, really.
They can't use it right now, can they? But
no, but they can get the interest, Jim.
Yes.
yachts all around there. But I'm glad that one hasn't gone on and on, even though it's gone on and on for about 2 years. But I mean, in terms of this summer, let's get that done.
Signed Militao and Luka Jovic as well. That is a potent-looking new lineup they've got there. Interesting as well, because presumably if they're spending that much money... players like Gareth Bale and Isco will be moved on sooner rather than later. And that might clear what's becoming known as the log jam. we're seeing that term used a lot. Yeah. It's like a new war chest
style
term.
You say that someone will come in for Gareth Bale. Well, they have to stump up the cash and his wages, and that's where it falls down. Mm. Unless Real Madrid are willing to kind of ship him off for a lot less, I'm not sure they will.
But that's the thing. Well, what makes
Gareth Bale might not.
They've signed three players already for a huge fee. Yes. So they must have something in the works.
It's Real Madrid. They just spend and then
you're probably right.
The government bail them out, allegedly. there we are. What about this, though, Jim? Yannick Carrasco, currently playing in China with Dalian Yifang, not even one of the bigger Chinese sides, says he has an offer on the table from Arsenal.
I hope he's not, for some reason, lying. I would absolutely love to have Yannick Carrasco. I really like him. I was surprised when I went to China, and he was linked with Arsenal in January around the same time as Denis Suarez, and we went for Suarez instead, which didn't quite work out for anyone involved. And I really rate Carrasco, and I have hugely lowered my expectations of the sort of profile of player that Arsenal can get. And I would be delighted if we got Carrasco.
China's not like a cul-de-sac anymore, is it? You can sort of come back a bit.
Yeah.
It's usually the sort of
Paulinho
thing the sort of thing you decide to do when you're 35 and then it's your big money move. But
yeah. We're also, we're linked with Ryan Fraser as well, which I'd also be happy with because his assist numbers were great. I know a lot of people are sort of underwhelmed by that.
They'll get him down. They'll get him down, mate.
They're two players who are very much sort of traditional wingers. And I wonder if this is a very deliberate ploy by Unai Emery, because so many teams are using their fullbacks as sort of de facto wingers now. So if you have a winger as well, it might make use of that exposition that is left by those players. That's my theory. I hope that's what happens.
Coming Keith Gillespie.
Uh-huh. Indeed.
Neither of them can play centre-half, though.
No.
But Carrasco... Pete,
which makes them ideal, really.
That's
Arsenal.
True, yeah, yeah. You saw Carrasco score in a Champions League final, of course, Petey.
I did.
But he's only 25.
No, I'm surprised by that.
When he went to China, it was one of those ones where everyone were like, oh, come on.
If he's only 25, am I only 25?
Yeah, that sounds about brilliant. Right. But I mean, Axel Witsel was one. I think he went to China and then he came back and was he Dortmund now? But yeah, he left Atletico Madrid when he was playing some good football, and it was a surprise. I understand money-wise and that, but I'd like to see him back in Europe.
Yeah, I mean, it might be the case, though, because, you know, if you're Yannick Carrasco and you're being offered a contract in China at that age, you might think, well, it might make sense for me to do this at the end of my career. But who knows if that will still be an option then. So you might think, I'll do it for a year.
Well, I don't blame him.
It's almost irresponsible to not take a shitload of money. Yeah. I'm sorry, like, you're a long time retired. It's almost irresponsible to not go out there.
Go back to your earlier content. That's why you came down to the south. Is that right?
where the streets are paved with gold.
Where the streets are paved.
Oh, Jim Campbell, how dare you?
That's a good gag. You should put it in one of your rubbish stand-up shows.
There it is.
It's not even my gag. I can't remember whose it is.
Oh, dearie me.
Thief.
Right. Diego Maradona thinks he's the man to get Man United back among the trophies. If Manchester United... He didn't even say United. He actually said if Manchester. He says, if Manchester need a coach, I'm the man to do it. I know they sell a lot of shirts around the world, but they need to win trophies too. He said, I can do that for them. Manchester United used to be my favourite English team for so long. So many great players and a great team under Alex Ferguson, but now I have to save Man City. Well, he's an ideal candidate, isn't he?
Yeah.
Of course, he does actually have a job currently. He's Mexican second division side, Dorados manager. So that is disrespectful to Dorados.
Dorados.
It's sort of... It's not really out of character, though, is it?
No, I think this is, actually. Tearing himself out, that's like a different level for old Diego.
Yeah. Maybe he's trying to sort of talk himself up to the Dorados fans. Like, this is how good I am.
Yeah.
I could go and manage them if I want.
Yeah. Because he's touted himself for a return to the Argentina national post, which, if they get the right/wrong guy in charge of the AFA out there, or whatever they're called, that could happen. Let's be honest.
It's unlikely,
but it's within the realms of possibility because of how passionate and crazy some people in that country are for him, that he could return to that job. But touting himself for the Man United job, I think that's a different level of madness.
It's the touting himself in general, isn't it? He strikes me as the type of guy that would defend himself in court.
Yeah.
You know, like, does he even have an agent? Is he his own agent?
Oh, who's his agent?
Surely his agent would put these rumours out there, but he just does it himself.
No. I mean, will he be plugging that film that you... I think you've seen it, haven't you? The Diego film.
Who said it was very good?
It is fantastic. It is brilliant. Can't recommend it enough.
Well, El Diego or no El Diego, if you fancy Manchester United to win the Premier League next season, I presume the odds will fluctuate after he takes the helm.
Yep.
If you fancy them to win the Premier League next season, they are 20-1. £10 returning, £210 including stake. Who knows what's going to happen?
Well, they have completed the signing of Swansea's Daniel James.
Hmm.
So there's that. Juventus interested in bringing Paul Pogba back to the club, apparently. So they could get rid of him.
They've got bunts. They've got bunts to spend, haven't they? They always have.
Yeah. Neil Warnock was asked his opinion of Man United this week, and he said they've spent 300 or 400 million on players who were supposed to be world stars, and they haven't got a team yet. They haven't got a team at all. And then when he was asked about Pogba, Lukaku and Sanchez, are they a part of the problem? He said, oh, absolutely. I wouldn't touch them with a barge pole.
I love that. Love the idea of him being offered all three and going, no, thank you.
There was a brilliant clip of him like halfway
through. Nice to see Warnock after the
halfway
season.
Halfway through the season, that Warnock sort of going, well, I think Liverpool. I think they'll miss out. I think they'll just miss out on the league. But I think the Champions League. I think this is their year.
He got it spot on, didn't he? Got it spot on, old Wazza.
Yeah.
So Neil Warnock. We look forward to seeing him and Cardiff in the Championship next season. Mm. Of course. Blah de blah. Right. It's time for Going for Gold.
So the heat is on, and the time is right. It's time for you. What you to play the game? It's people are coming. Trying to be the best that they can. To reach for the sky where the stakes are so high. We're all going for
gold. Hello to Rob, who's coming with his clues.
Yeah.
Hey, Rob.
Am I going to get this?
Just going for gold of the season, guys.
I think you've won, haven't you, Marcus? I think you wrapped it up.
I have stormed it at the end.
Well, I was born on the 14th of February, 1972.
Okay.
It's a fun one. Fun one, this one.
Stop, Carlton Palmer.
Incorrect. Would he not be older than that, maybe?
Maybe.
No, right, no, right.
I represented 7 clubs in 4 countries, including Villa and Motherwell.
Mm.
Ooh. I represented my country 14 times, scoring 1 goal. However, the end of my international career was precipitated by me being discovered in bed with 2 Japanese girls.
Sasa Churchic.
Oh, yeah. Come on!
Oh, well played. Very well played, Jim.
Yeah.
He had to pop up eventually.
Lord.
Yeah. My move to Aston Villa made the Times list of the worst Premier League buys ever, and I branded it the biggest mistake I've had in my life. I once booked myself in for a nose job without telling the club, thereby ruling myself out for a month. I bought a double-decker bus on which to throw parties.
All right, I'd have got that.
After signing for Metro Stars in 1999, I declared my intention to become the Dennis Rodman of MLS. That season was the worst recorded by any club in MLS history. I retired at the age of 29, saying I've given up football for sex.
For sex?
Yeah, classic. Remember, he said he was going to have...
It's 29.
He didn't want $15 million. He wanted 15
million
women from around the world.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
And then he won the Serbian version of Celebrity Big Brother.
Well,
seems a character.
Serbian footballers invariably are wonderful, great news. Yeah. We should do a Serbian ramble.
Speaking of which, Mitro's still
not moved.
No,
not
no one's coming for him.
Oh, beautiful.
I love that.
I love it.
Tear up the championship.
I mean, if you command a certain amount of money, he probably is on a very, very decent wage. It's a great city to live in.
Yep.
He's going to be knocking them in for fun in the
nice
championship.
Club to be in.
Yeah.
Honestly, I think next season they should bring in an opt out for promotion at the championship.
No thanks. So we'll take the championship
exactly.
Trophy.
Finish, and if you finish first, you have to go up. If you finish second or you win the playoff, you can have an opt out.
Oh no, you can award it to whoever's in the playoff position.
Yeah, exactly.
And they've got to curry favour with you. They've got to bend the knee.
And then have the third and fourth place playoff in the year.
To see who gets promoted least. It's not about winning that.
Oh, dear. Well, thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble preview sponsored by Bet365. On Monday, we will do our... we will reveal our predictions for the season, of course.
I always forget about that at the end of the season. There's a little bit of a frisson of excitement.
Yeah,
then I remember that I'm terrible at predictions.
That's right. We mentioned incorrectly on Monday that we would do it today. Of course, Luke's not here, so we're going to wait till Monday. So why not hang around for that, ladies and gentlemen? There we are. And we'll see how England get on against Switzerland, of course. Thanks, Petey.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Jimmy.
See ya.
Thanks, everybody.
This was a Radio Staccato production.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Spin your passion into a business with Shopify and break sales records with the world's best converting checkout. Let's hear that one more time. The world's best converting checkout. Shopify's legendary checkout makes it easier for customers to shop on your website, across social media, and everywhere in between. Now that's music to your ears. Any way you spin it, you can be a smash hit with Shopify. Start your dollar a month trial today at shopify.com/records.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we'll weigh around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.